We've been talking about it's not right. What we're talking about is times in all of our lives where we run into difficulties and tragedies, times of suffering, times of trouble, and we have a tendency to say it's not right because we don't understand. Job said that a man is born to trouble. You're just in trouble all your life. And he said, man born of woman is born to trouble. So if you have a mother, you're in trouble. Not because of your mother, just because you're human. David said, Lord, don't go far from me, because trouble is near. Right? He said, there's only trouble that you can get me out of, or that you can help me get through. Jesus says you have trouble every day. He says, sufficient today is the trouble thereof. You don't worry about tomorrow or last week. Take care of today. If you're married, you have many troubles, what the apostle said. Jesus said that if you're in this world, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome it. Apostle Paul said, we have trouble on every side. No matter which way we turn, it comes at us from everywhere. It's all colors, it's all shapes, it's all sizes. All colors of the rainbow comes trouble. We're born to trouble. That's what Job said. But we're learning that in every trouble, no matter what we're facing, we should find something in there to give thanks to God for. Something in there, because thanksgiving changes trouble. We're learning that we should consider it all pure joy, even when we have hit these times of trouble. And what James tells us is that what trouble is for the believer, for you and for I, trouble is a test. It's actually a test of God, from God. And it has two purposes, basically. The first purpose is to mature you so that you can grow in understanding and in the things of God so that you can excel and come into a higher and a better life. That's what trouble is to do for you, is to make you better, not bitter. And then the second thing is to prove if your faith is genuine. See, there's so many people that I'm afraid today, it's because they prayed a prayer at some point in life that are going to wake after death in hell, simply because they don't understand the principles that we've been looking at. It's to test your faith. It's to prove you pure. So this is what we're going to be looking at today again. Now, in the Bible, we read a story about a man named Job. J-O-B. We'd say it Job, but it's Job. And if anyone ever had the right to say it's not right, it's seemingly the right to say it would be Job. It'd be Job. He faced trouble. He faced so much trouble. So what I want to do is I want to take a couple of weeks and draw some mighty principles out of his story that we can find applicable. And what we're going to see is that Job began well. You see, that's the story, that's the title today, is that Job began this trouble journey that he was on, this it's not right time in his life. He began it very, very well, and that's what we do. You know, we'll begin well. But when trouble hangs around and trouble keeps coming on us and different things start happening in our life, we have a tendency to do exactly what Job did, which is begin to wonder where God is, doubt God, get angry with God, question God, why? So this is what we're going to be looking at. So what I want to do is I want to read the first passage. Now, we're going to read a lot of Scripture today, but it's all in big hunks, and you know, 5-10 verses at the time. So let's read, let me introduce you to Job. I want you to see this man named Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 5 says this: in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. Now, this man was blameless. Let's stop there just a second. What is this saying? He's blameless. He's not sinless. He's blameless. There's a huge difference, and it's extremely important. You and I are blameless because of the blood of Jesus Christ, but we're not sinless. So this is a good man. He's blameless, and he's upright. Upright. What does that mean? He's a straight-up person. He's a man of honesty, a man of integrity. Goes on, it says, he feared God. He's a God-fearing man. He believed in God. He was a believer. He feared God. And it says, and he shunned evil. He stayed away from anything that looked like evil. He would stay away from it. Now, what I want us to get here, so Job is about to go into some trouble. And if evil was only reserved for evil people, if trouble was only reserved for evil people, then he would not be a candidate. Because this guy's blameless. He's upright. He feared God. Trouble doesn't work that way. The way trouble works is it comes on all of us. So he's blameless, he's upright, he feared God, and he shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. So he's extremely wealthy. This is how they would measure wealth. He wouldn't call him a trillionaire or multi-billionaire. What they would measure your wealth by what you possessed. So he's extremely wealthy. And it goes on and he says, and he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. He was extremely, extremely successful. God had blessed his life. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes. And they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. I don't know how he did that. I'd like to know. But he would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this was Job's regular custom. So he was a great man. He was a good man. He was a good father. He was intensely interested in his children's salvation. And when he sacrificed, it means there was no limit to what he would sacrifice for his children to have a relationship with the Lord God. He was a man of impeccable integrity. He was a man who loved God and feared God. He was an upright person. He was a good, good man. Now, the book of Job is about a man who went through a time of trouble, a time in his life when it's just not right. We're going to read about it here in just a moment. But also, we need to understand that Job is a real person. He wasn't just a fairy tale. Now, they didn't make him up, so put him as an example. The Bible talks a lot about Job through it, verifying his existence. And I want to read these passages just for the recording, so maybe it'll help somebody see this. But he's spoken about in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, and verse 14 and verse 20. He's spoken about in Romans, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 11 and verse 35, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, and also in the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 11. And what we're going to see is if anyone ever had the right to say, or seemingly the right to say, it's not right, it's this guy. It's this guy. It's Job. Now, the scene changes. We met Job on the earth. Now we're going to change scenes. The next verse changes scenes and takes us into the heavenlies. It takes us actually into the throne room of God, where something is taking place that we need to see. So in Job chapter 1, verse 6, very next verse says this, one day the angels came to do what? To present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Now, just begin to see, we're going to see it again here in a minute, but Satan has to present himself to the Lord. I don't know how that works in your theology. Let me get on, and I'll come back to it in a second. But the Lord said to Satan, where have you come to? What have you been doing? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm doing what you created me to do. I'm doing my job. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? What? This guy's blameless. He's upright. He fears God, and you know he shuns evil. And like God is sicking him on Job. I mean, God is sicking Satan on. Have you considered working on my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. Now watch what God says about this guy. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. This is what God says about the guy. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. There's a reason that he serves you. There's a reason that he fears you. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. Now watch. But stretch your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, I want to get you to draw 2 principles from this particular verse while we're looking at it. Number one is it talks about the hand. Now, God's not going to strike Job. Who's really going to strike Job? Satan. So what I want you to begin to see is Satan is the hand of God. I'll talk more about it. But your hand can't do anything unless your head tells it to. And this is the picture that it's painting us. And then the second thing that I want you to see right now while we're looking at this particular verse is this particular thought. He says, if you'll strike him, all right, and what he'll do is curse you to your face. The second principle that I want you to see is the goal of Satan is to get you to hate God. The goal of Satan is to use trouble to get you to turn your back on God, shake your fist in God's face, hate God, curse God. That's his goal. Let's read on. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. Everything he has is in what? In your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Don't touch him. Touch anything he's got, but don't touch him. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So what we see is there is a discussion in the heavenlies. There's a discussion about Job between and with the Lord and with Satan. Satan and his angels has to come, or his demons have to come along with the Lord and his angels, and they're all there together. They have to present themselves before God. Now, I don't know how that works in your theology, because likely you have been told somewhere that God and Satan are adversaries. You know, they're fighting each other, and Satan's obviously winning. That's not it. It's not how it works at all. That's not good biblical theology at all. I want you to look at this word, present. Where Satan and all the angels have to present, and it's used again in the second chapter where we're going to read in a little while. But here's what this word means. It's yetzab. And what it means is to place. It means to station, to offer, to continue. So for Satan and his angel, his demons to continue doing what they do, they've got to present themselves. They've got to place themselves. They've got to station themselves. They've got to offer themselves in the presence of God. And I don't know how that works in your theology. This is how it really works. I want you to know, Satan can't do a thing unless God lets him. Yeah. So the book of Job tells us about this situation going on in heaven where Satan and the Lord are having this dispute, this discussion, this argument, as it were, over this man named Job. And it's written there so that you and I can have an explanation as to what's happening. But Job doesn't know anything about it. Job hasn't read the book yet. Job doesn't know what he's about to face didn't begin on earth. See, it seems to come out of nowhere. And a lot of times we face troubles where it just seems to come out of nowhere. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to this person I love? Why? What's going on? See, we don't understand that there's a discussion going on in heaven. Oftentimes, our troubles, don't originate on earth. Where did Job's troubles actually originate? In the throne room of God, in the heavens. We ask, why? And sometimes you'll never know why. Job never knew why. You never know why things are happening, because the answers are for heavenly purposes and for heavenly reasons. They're not for earth. They're for heavens. Why, Lord? See, what I want us to get, what I want us to understand is right now, this moment, this hour, right now, discussions are going on in heaven. This is so vital to our understanding of the ways of God. Discussions are going on in heaven that you are totally unaware of, but are affecting your life right now. Discussions and debates are going on in heaven that has affected you in your past, affecting you right now, and will affect you in your future. You may never know why, because they're for heavenly reasons. Every one of us are going to experience these kinds of things. What's so interesting here, you know, is it wasn't Satan who instigated this stuff that's going to happen to Job. We're going to read in just a moment what he's going to have to face, this trouble that he's going through. It wasn't Satan that instigated it. It was God. God said, have you considered my servant Job? God instigated it. Why? So Job's faith could be tested. So that Job could be proven pure. That his faith was real. He was a genuine believer. But what we got to also see is that your faith isn't proven. It's impure until it's tested. See, Satan says the reason that Job serves you is because you bless him. All your people are that way, is what Satan is saying. The only reason that they serve you at all, they say they love you at all, is because you bless them, you protect them. But you take that hedge down and you let me at him, he will curse you to your face. He will curse you to your face. See, what Satan is saying is Job's never been tested. You've never let me get to him. His faith is impure. He's a sham. If you let me test him, you'll find out the truth. Job will curse you to your face. Your faith, my faith, is impure until it's tested. You don't know if you're truly a Christ follower. You don't know until you go through something that really tests you and tries you. And it comes to you as a challenge where you'll curse God that has that potential, that kind of a challenge in your life. Then it says this thing about the hand, you know, the hand of God. Stretch forth your hand and strike him. Strike everything he's got and he'll curse you. What you got to see is that Satan is the hand of God. He's created this way. This is his job. His job is to test you. But he can do no more than God allows him to. Listen, he is not God's adversary. He is your adversary. He is my adversary. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says that your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And don't never let some preacher tell you that he's a gumless bully. That's why I know what Peter says. Peter says he will devour you. But he's not God's adversary. He's our adversary. All he can do is what God allows him to do. He's the hand. He's not the head. He's the hand. And what his purpose is and his job is to test us. And his goal is this. His goal is to the best he can, smash, crush our faith. He wants to cause you to hate God. He wants you to go through some difficulty where you'll turn your back on God and you'll walk away. And I have seen it hundreds and hundreds of times. People walk away from God. They get mad at God. They shake a fist at God's face. Curse God. Mad at God. Well, what good is that going to do? This is what they say. And Satan says, take that hedge down. You know, take your protection down. And you'll see he's a sham. He's a joke. He doesn't really love you. This is what Satan's goal is and Satan's purpose is. So Job has no idea. He's oblivious to what's going on in the heavenly dimensions concerning his life. And he's about to hit it. He's about to go through it. Let me read to you now what Satan does. Job chapter 1, very next verse, verse 13. It says, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowed and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabines attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and it burned up all the sheep and all the servants. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed their three raiding parties and swept down on the camels and carried them off. And they put the servants to the sword. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Job, you know, the Apostle Paul said, we have trouble on every side. You know, we go through troubles, and we're not through this trouble before we hit into another trouble, and we're not through that trouble before we got three or four troubles going on at one time. And this is what Job is going through. While he was still, this is the fourth time, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed and on them and they're all dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Financial disaster. Family disaster. His children. 10 of them. One time. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head. This is the way ancients would mourn. Then he, watch this now, he fell to the ground, not to worship, but he fell to the ground in worship. He was already worshiping when he fell to the ground. Somehow, with all of this devastation and all this trouble coming upon him, Job found a way to give thanks to God. Somehow, in all of this way, he was finding some way to worship. Job didn't understand. But what Job does, instead of asking why, he worships. Instead of blaming the Lord and making, and we're going to see this in just a second, and causing, you know, and coming against the Lord, what Job does is worship the Lord. Fell in worship. And said, naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked I will depart. And you just sang it. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. King James says, blessed be the name of the Lord. NIV says, may the name of the Lord be praised. And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with what? With what? Wrongdoing. Now let's think about that. Let's think about that. When we go through situations and we say, God, you're wrong, that's sin. When we hit situations in life and we say, God, you're messing up, that's sin. That's close to blasphemy. You're attributing the works of God to Satan. It's wrongdoing. He didn't charge. He didn't understand it. He surely didn't like it. But he knew God was in it. And he didn't say God was wrong in doing it. Now, what I want you to notice here is that Job did not say, the Lord gave and Satan takes away. What did he say? The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. See, we have this theology that says God gives and Satan takes. We can't say that God gives and Satan takes. We've got to understand that God is in there somehow. We don't understand. We don't know the discussion going on in heaven. We don't understand this thing. We're asking why. You'll never know why. But what you can't do is charge God with his wrongdoing. See, ultimately, it's going to go back to the lap of God. Either God allowed it to happen or he didn't. God's in charge or he isn't. God is God or Satan is God? And all of the things that he went through, he never said God was wrong. He didn't like it. He didn't understand it. But he never said God was wrong. It's not right, is it? What's right about this? You got a man here who's blameless. He's upright. Man of integrity and honesty. He fears God. And he shuns evil. He stays away from anything evil. What's right about that? Nothing's right about that. But the thing that we've got to see is that he never shook his fist at God. He never turned his back on God. What did Job do? He worshiped. When you or I don't understand it, what we need to do is not ask why and turn our backs and shake our fist at God. We need to worship. This is the mark of a true believer. If this is what you do, you have salvation. And true salvation cannot be smashed. True salvation cannot be crushed. And when you go through a trial and you go through a test in life, If you can go through that test, you are genuine. If you cannot, and you turn your back and you get angry with God, you're in jeopardy. And God is trying to show you, you are not genuine. You are not a believer. And you will die and wake in hell. The test of a true believer is we worship when bad stuff happens. He never charged God with doing wrong, with wrongdoing. Satan was wrong. Satan said Job would cuss God, curse God. Satan said that he would turn his faith and walk away from God, that he was a sham. It's not true. Job's faith is real. Job's faith is real. Now, it's not right, but you and I are going to go through times of trouble. We're going to go through bad, bad times. And what these times are designed by Satan to do is to crush you and turn you away from God, get you to hate God, curse God, walk away from God. But if you can go through them, you're going to be blessed beyond your wildest expectations. You can make it through. We're going to see as we go through this study and we look at Job as, and he gets out of this thing. He's blessed double what he had to begin with. But he starts well. He begins really well. Now, Deborah, how do you do that? I mean, how do you worship God when all that stuff's going on in your life? How do you do that? Well, first of all, it's to mature you. It's to bring you to a higher lifestyle. It's to prove that your faith is genuine. But you also got to realize that there's more trouble coming. You're not done yet. You will never be done with trouble. And you're going to need God. And this is exactly what happened with Job. Okay, he got through that phase. He kept his faith. Now let's read on now. Job chapter 2 and verse 1 says this. On another day. You ever had one of those? On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to do what? To present himself before him, before the Lord. I want you to see this. Then Satan's got to bow to God. He's not fighting with God. Satan's doing his job. And the Lord said to Satan, what you been doing? Where'd you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. I'm doing my job. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? What? Leave the guy alone. I mean, come on, Lord. Have you ever felt that way? I can't take anymore. Yes, you can. He's not going to put anything on you you can't bear. And with everything that he puts on you, this is going to give a way of escape. You can make it. You don't understand it. And that's exactly what James tells us. When we don't understand, then ask God for some wisdom. Now, he might not tell you the reason the problem's going on, but he'll give you wisdom how to get through it. And so here he goes again at Job. I mean, the guy's, goodness gracious, right? It's not right. Now watch this. There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Now watch this. Watch this. God admits he didn't have a right to do this. And he still remains, he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Job had done nothing to bring this on him. God even says it. Satan starts talking. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. Is that true? Is that true? What is more important than life? How badly do we fight for life? Nothing gets you like illness in your body. When you're coming close and you might face death, you reevaluate everything. Things that used to be so important are no longer. You will give up everything for your life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he'll surely curse you to your face. There again, that's Satan's goal. Everything he does to us is to cause us to hate God, shake our fist at God, turn our backs on God. And the Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands. That's that hand thing again. But you must spare his life. What does that mean? He can do anything to him physically except killing. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. We're going to talk about this next time. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. And his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Job's theology is a little different than ours, isn't it? Job didn't see a big Satan and a little God. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. What is the primary way that we sin? It's in what we say, right? He didn't sin in what he said. Now, Job had proved his faith for God and his love for God would make it through and was superior to his financial devastations and financial disasters. He loved God more than he loved things. It also proved already that Job loved God and his faith was pure concerning family disaster. We all have family disaster. It devastates us. Job showed that he loved God more than he loved family or anything else. But what about this one? What about sickness? What about facing death? Will Job make it here? Nothing shatters a person's faith more than sickness. Where are you, God? Why won't you heal me? Why did you let that happen? Nothing shakes us more than when we're sick in our bodies. Now, preachers have blasted Mrs. Job forever. But you got to realize, now this is a gripey old woman is what they think of her, but you got to realize this woman has been through this with Job. She's just lost 10 kids, 10 children. Think about that. I mean, how would you feel toward God? All your children, dead. All your security, taken. What would you do? But what I like is what Job says here. What Job says is you talk like a foolish woman. This isn't how you normally talk. You're talking like one of those foolish women. You're usually right beside me. You're usually right with me. You're usually standing right beside me in our faith. Our faith is together. But now you're talking like one of those foolish women. That's not how you talk. Let me tell you something. When your spouse is sick, it rattles you. It rattled her. Satan's plan was working on Mrs. Job. It had shattered her. Curse God and die. I hate God. I hate you. I hate everybody. No. But Job wasn't rattled. Job says, "You're talking. Don't turn your back on God now. He's blessed us too much. He's been with us too far. No, 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 no. You're talking like a foolish woman. Let's get your faith back. Get back where you need to be." I want to read that verse again. Verse 10 says here, he replied, Job did, "You're talking like a foolish woman." Now here's the part I want to pull out. "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" And in all this, Job did not sin. Job had this uncanny understanding of God, so different from the way we see it today. See, Job had not heard the contemporary theology that you got this big old devil and this little tiny God. And the devil's winning. I mean, that's what everybody says. That's poor theology. That is not how it works at all. Job had an understanding that God gives, but God takes away. But still, blessed be the name of the Lord. What a provoking thought. What a provoking thought that sometimes God's in my trouble. If we could ever understand that when we face trouble, it's not just the devil. that God is doing something through the trouble to make us mature, to make us have a better lifestyle, to make us do better, but to also prove to us that we really are the children of God. That we really have salvation. And when this life is over, that we will awake in the presence of God, not in the presence of hell. He had this uncanny. And Job began well. That's our title. But how's it going to roll out? See, we all begin well. We're faith-filled people. We believe, you know, well, I can get through this. I can handle this. But when trouble comes, and then you're sick in your body, and you start getting beaten down, hammered down, smashed by Satan, and all this stuff starts coming on you, how do you do then? We're going to talk about it next week, next time. So what's so interesting here? This is just the first two chapters of Job. From chapter 3 on to chapter about 40, 41, right in there, Job is dealing with this sickness thing. He doesn't understand why he's sick. He doesn't understand why God is doing this to him. He never says God was wrong doing it. He just doesn't understand why God's doing it. We're going to be looking at it. The major part is dealing with part 2. Job began well. But how does he do now with this blasting? He's sick for months and months. He's got these scabby sores that are draining and worms in them, sitting in ashes trying to get something soft to sit on. He's a mess. How do you do after a while? After being beaten down in trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble? That's what we're going to be looking at. Because that's what I really want to pull from and draw from. I've tried to present to you 7 different points today. If you were to read back through your notes, what you're going to see is 7 basic things I was attempting to emphasize to you. Number one, the first thing that I wanted you to see is that trouble is not reserved for only evil people and wicked and mean people. I want you to know it's not just reserved for them. See, you can be blameless. You can be upright, a man or woman of integrity and honesty. You can fear God. You can be a believer. And you can shun evil. You can shun everything that has a glimpse of evil on it and still have trouble. Why is that? Why is that? Because there are discussions. Number 2, discussions going on in heaven right now. See, your trouble doesn't originate on this earth. Your trouble originates in the throne room of God. We can't get our heads wrapped around that because His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than the heavens above the earth are His thoughts than our thoughts. We don't understand that because we don't understand there's really a heaven up there. And they're talking about me. And they're talking about you. Number 3, your faith is not pure until it's purified. Your faith is not pure until it's tested. Number 4, right now there are discussions and debates going on that are affecting you this minute. Debates and discussions going on right now in the heavenlies, in the throne room of God, that are affecting your life right now, has affected your life in the past, is affecting your life right now, and will affect you in the future. You need to understand that. And you will sometimes never know why. Number 5, Satan is the hand of God, not the adversary of God. He's on a leash, and he can only go so far, and he can only do so much. He can't kill you. He's a tool of God that God is going to use to test you, test me, test every single one of us. That's his job. And he does it very, very well. Number 6, his goal in life, Satan's goal, is to crush your faith. Smash your faith. Shatter your faith. Cause you to hate God. Shake your fist at God. Turn your back on God. Curse God. He's good at it. But God's desire is to prove you. Satan's desire is to crush you. God's desire is to prove you. To all of heaven, to all of earth, you are a child of God. Then number 7. There's going to be times when you're going to ask why, and you'll never know. Never charge God with wrongdoing. Never say God was wrong in what he did. When you don't know why, worship. fall in worship. Never get out of worship. Find something in any situation that you encounter where you can bring thanks to God. Because blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray.